Good morning. Good morning. It's great to see all of you here this morning. We've got a lot of folks visiting with us, and we are very glad to have you with us today. We have been, in a sense, kind of on a journey, where what we have been doing really this whole year and even before this year, but really focusing on trying to allow God and asking God to help us to make this a house of prayer to the Lord. That's what our focus has been. So we've been really spending a lot of time in our worship time on Sunday mornings focusing on becoming people of prayer and really kind of like Jesus' disciples asking God to teach us how to pray. We've spent a considerable amount of time just talking about things like learning how to pray the Scriptures and using the Scriptures in our prayers and praying the promises of God. We spent a lot of time talking about using Scripture and prayer to break down the strongholds that Satan uses against us in our lives. And we've talked an awful lot throughout all of this time about spiritual warfare and relying upon God's strength and His power to help us in spiritual warfare and identifying what that really is. We began last week in this study on prayer in a new series, so to speak, that is really looking at and asking the question, what are you praying for? And the idea behind this is for us to really take a good hard look at the prayers that we do offer to the Lord. What is it that we're praying for? You see? And to really honestly take a look at that. Last week we focused on the whole concept and idea of praying for spiritual needs. The fact that we spend an awful lot of our time in prayer over physical needs, but what we really need to be doing is spending a lot of time praying about spiritual needs for ourselves and for one another. So today, as we continue this series on what are you praying for, we're going to talk about praying for miracles. Praying for miracles. Now, you know, when someone mentions the word miracle, probably a lot of different ideas come to mind, don't they? There's a lot of different things that people today will attribute to being a miracle. And we look at things that happen and we go, oh, it's a miracle. People will say that, you know, they're involved in a car accident, for instance, and it's a miracle I'm alive today, you see. And we look at a little baby being born and we say, that's a miracle. It's the miracle of birth. And we use that word, unfortunately, a lot of times to refer to events or things that would more properly fit into the category of things that are amazing to us. See? But yet there still are a lot of things that we need to understand that are miracles. Well, what is a miracle anyway? Well, we go to the Bible and we start looking at the word that is used in the Bible for miracle. It's a very interesting word. Okay, actually, there are two of them we're going to talk about this morning. The first word that the Bible uses for miracle, okay, is the word, we've talked about this word before, it's the word dunamis. Okay? That word is the word that we get our English word dynamite from. Okay? That word literally means power. Okay? And thus the word dynamite. Okay? Basically what that word means is it is power, it is inherent ability, it is used of works of a supernatural origin and character, such as could not be produced by natural agents and means. There's another word in the Greek language for miracle, and that word is semion. And that word means a sign, a mark, a token, and it is used of miracles and wonders as signs of divine authority. It's interesting how we see, as you read through the Scriptures, the word for miracle and you think power. So as we talk about this morning, we begin to understand what miracles really are. Then I hope you will be encouraged to pray more for miracles to happen. And I hope you'll understand why I say that this morning. It's not always instant healing or instant results. That's not what we're talking about. And if that's your concept of a miracle, then hopefully we'll change that this morning. Okay? But it really is calling upon God to use His power in our lives to help us with whatever it is that we may be facing in life. I want to encourage you to turn in your Bible over to Exodus chapter 14. If you have your study guide there, your study notes, you see that we begin by talking about the banks of the Red Sea. And here we find the Israelite people have just left bondage in Egypt. They have been freed by the power of God, okay, by His dunamis, okay. They have been freed, and they come to the banks of the Red Sea, and where are we going to go? And then, not only are they kind of stopped at the edge of the Red Sea, but then they realize and recognize that Pharaoh and his army are coming after them. Now what are we going to do? Okay. And we look at this particular narrative and notice some of the things that are said here. In Exodus chapter 14, we're going to begin in verse 10 here. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians.' It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." And Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid." I want you to underline that in your Bible. If you're an underliner or a writer, underline it. Do not be afraid. "Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today." You see, here's something that we have got to learn and understand. And some of you have heard me talk about this times before. You know, we all, at times in our lives, will stand at the banks of our own Red Sea events. And what makes them Red Sea events is the kind of circumstance the Israelites found themselves in. It was hopeless. Here's the sea in front of us, and we've got Pharaoh's army behind us. There's no hope here. So much so to the extent that they were wanting to go back into slavery in Egypt. We would have been better off if we'd have been back there. That's hopeless. I think if we're honest with ourselves, I think most of us in here, all of us in here, at one time or another say, "I have found myself standing on the banks of a Red Sea event in my life." The question is, what do we do? Do we become afraid, so much afraid that we long for to be back where we were before? Or are we able to stand firm and to see the deliverance of the Lord? See? What do we do with those Red Sea events? We can grumble and complain about the situation, or we can pray for a miracle. You have the words to a song on the back of your study guide. "I'll do the miracle. I chose you before you knew who I was. I heard you crying down in Egypt's land. You are my people. I am your God. A covenant you cannot comprehend. I'm going to take you on a journey. We're going to walk across the sea. But children, don't you worry. Let me set your mind at ease. You do what's possible. You do the praise. I'll do the miracle. I'll make the way. You keep your trust in me. You keep the faith. Then when you can't go on, that's when I'll do the miracle. We are His people. He is our God. He saved us from a wicked world of sin. So why do we worry when it all falls apart? When the stormy tides of life come crashing in, we have but one purpose, that's to trust with all our hearts, then to stand back in wonder as we watch the waters part. And He says, you do what's possible, you do the praise. I'll do the miracle. I'll make the way. You put your trust in me. You keep the faith. Then when you can't go on, that's when I'll do the miracle. You do what's possible. You do the praise. I'll do the miracle. I'll make the way. You put your trust in me. You keep the faith. Then when you can't go on, my child, then when you can't go on, that's when I'll do the miracle. That's what we've got to do. We've got to do what's possible. We've got to do the praise. We've got to let God do miracles. We've got to call upon Him as such. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a passage that I think probably is very familiar to most of us. It's Paul discussing with us his thorn in the flesh and what he saw as a solution to it and what God's response to that was. And that's why I call this part dunamis, that is power made perfect. Paul don't know what his thorn in the flesh was, but whatever it was so bothersome to him that he says he prayed three times to the Lord to take it away from him. And each time the Lord's response was, my dunamis, my power is made perfect or complete in weakness. And brethren, that's a message that we need to understand. If we expect God and we want God to work miracles in our lives concerning our Red Sea events. You see, because it's not until we get ourselves out of the way that God's power can really work. We talked about earlier in our study, back earlier in the summer, we were talking about strongholds. We talked about two sticks of dynamite that we have available to us. Okay? Those two sticks of dynamite, that dunamis that we have available to us, is prayer and God's Word. You see? Two powerful works that God has within us and for us, available to us, see, to help us to overcome whatever it is that we're facing. And God will use His dunamis, His power, when we can acknowledge how weak we are without Him and how much we truly, truly truly need Him. You see, again, we need to do what's possible. We need to do the praise. We need to allow Him to do the miracles. You see, we need to trust in Him, and we need to keep the faith. And when we're standing on the banks of our Red Sea events, that's when God will do the miracle. When we call upon Him in our weakness to use His power for a solution to the problem. The solutions to problems are always interesting to me. I don't know about you, but when I pray about things and situations in my life as I'm on the Red Sea, the banks of my Red Sea events, I oftentimes have come up with all kinds of solutions. And God, if you'll just do this or if you'll just do that, then everything will be fine. But the one thing that I have learned is that when I stop giving God my solutions and I just let Him come up with His own solutions, okay, then He makes those things work. You see? He makes those things work. And that's when He does the miracle. When I look at the situation and realize that it is hopeless for me, that I have no real solution for it, and I call upon God to give me His solution, that's when I see His power working in that situation. So what do we need to do? We need to appeal to God for Him to do miracles. Look over in Psalm 77, the text that was read for us as we began this morning. Actually, we're going to read a little bit more of that. Beginning in verse 1, verses 1 through 9, as we read through this particular psalm here, we begin to understand that these first 9 verses speak of tremendous despair. Okay? Read along with me. The psalmist writes here, "I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands, and my soul refused to be comforted. I remembered You, O God, and I groaned. I mused, and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused, and my spirit inquired, 'Will the Lord reject forever? Will He never show His favor again? His unfailing love vanish forever? Has His promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has He in anger withheld His compassion?'" I wonder if Paul thought of some of those things when he was praying over and over and over again to have his thorn in the flesh removed. "Has God, have You forgotten about me? God, have You withholding from me Your love and mercy?" When we acknowledge our weakness before God, and we remember who God really is, and we remember His power, listen to the next few verses, verses 10 through 15. "Then I thought, 'To this I will appeal.'" I want to encourage you to underline that in your Bible. "To this I will appeal. The years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember Your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all Your works and consider all Your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display Your power among the people. With Your mighty arm, You redeemed Your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph." I will remember Your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all Your works. You see, God is still the same God that He was back then. He still has the same power that He displayed that day amongst the Israelites and the Egyptians when He parted the Red Sea. The same God with the same power. His power has not diminished one bit. Can I get at least one amen on that? Not one bit. I'm afraid that what has diminished is our faith in His power. See? God hasn't changed, but we have. And we need to remember the miracles of God. We need to remember the power that God has worked in so many people's lives and continues to do today. So as we stand at the banks of the Red Sea events in our lives, that we will appeal to God for miracles in our lives. And I hope you understand by now what I'm talking about. We're not talking about the gifts of healing and all those kinds of things. We're talking about God working His power in our lives to help us and to give us solutions for the situations and the circumstances that we face in our lives. That's what we're talking about. God still has that power. And He still has it available to us. What we need to do is to acknowledge our weakness, our total incapability of being able to resolve those situations on our own. Okay? And then to appeal to God for a miracle. I don't know for all of you what kind of Red Sea events are going on in your life. For some of you, I do, because we've talked about some of those things. I want to encourage you right now this morning, whatever Red Sea events are going on in your life, whether it's a marriage relationship or a work relationship or a parent-child relationship or whatever. It may be an illness of someone. Maybe your own illness. Whatever you're facing in your life that you feel completely hopeless in, I want to encourage you to appeal to God to work that out for you in your life. Stop trying to do it on your own. One thing I know after all these years in ministry, I can't do it on my own. See? God wants us to appeal to Him. And so we need to be praying for miracles. We need to be praying for God to use His dunamis, His power in our lives to help us to overcome whatever Red Sea events we're facing day to day. Is something that we can help you with? Is it something we can lift you up before the Lord this morning? Some Red Sea event, perhaps, that's going on in your life. Let us do that. You're here this morning and you have not given your life to Christ yet. You're just like the Israelites standing on the banks of the Red Sea. Okay? You're hopeless. Unless you cross over. And I would challenge you, if that's your situation this morning, to stand firm and to watch the deliverance of the Lord in your life. Call upon Him as your Lord and Savior. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God. Have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning, if you're ready to make that commitment. We're going to stand together, and Ted, if you'll come up and lead us in a song, an invitation song. The Lord's invitation is open to you. Whatever we might be able to help you with or bring before the Lord on your behalf, that's what we want to do. Let's stand together and sing.